from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Saul Gonzalez. A fast-moving wildfire in Redding is threatening thousands of homes and forcing evacuations. The fire started around noon on Thursday and burned about 600 acres as of yesterday afternoon. Those evacuated include students and staff at Shasta College. An evacuation center has been set up at Cross Point Community Church in Redding. Staying on fires, investigators say Pacific Gas and Electric, California's biggest utility, has caused some of the state's most destructive blazes, like 2018's Camp Fire that killed 86 people. PG&E filed for bankruptcy in January after it said it couldn't afford to pay $30 billion in wildfire-related liabilities. So how will the utility meet its obligations to fire victims without socking it to ratepayers? Joining me is KQED politics correspondent Marisa Lagos to talk about one plan to do just that. Marisa, I understand this proposal has caused a lot of consternation in Sacramento, and it's really confusing.
Stick with me here, Saul. Between PG&E stockholders and bondholders, the stockholders, along with PG&E management, want to retain control of the company. And some of the bondholders at PG&E are trying to kind of come in and propose a different way to pay off fire victims that would give them more control. So Wall Street versus Wall Street, not something that a lot of kind of average citizens, quite frankly, are paying attention to or have a big financial stake in.
So what would this Chad Mays legislation do specifically for PG&E?
So this legislation, which was written by Assemblyman Chad Mays from Yucca Valley, would essentially allow PG&E to issue tax-exempt bonds up to $20 billion. That money could go to pay off wildfire survivors from previous years. It would be tax exempt because essentially the state of California and the ratepayers of PG&E would be backing it. So private companies can't get these types of government bonds. And the idea would be to sort of give them a mechanism by which shareholders could pay back those bonds out of future profits. And what PG&E says and the folks backing this is that it would basically protect ratepayers from having to pay for the mistakes PG&E made that a lot of people do feel that the shareholders should shoulder.
And what do you say to skeptics who might say, yeah, but that lets this utility off in some way? Are they right?
I mean, I think that that's going to be, if this comes to the floor in the legislature, what's being debated. Like, is this a bailout or is this a backstop for ratepayers? On the one hand, you have people saying, hey, this is a good way that allows PG&E to kind of emerge in a healthy manner. And on the other hand, you have people who say, wait a second, ratepayers would be on the hook if PG&E defaulted on these bonds. And also, we should mention that PG&E has asked state regulators to increase their amount of guaranteed profits. So ratepayers will pay for those increased profits already. And so there's kind of a question of like, well, if we're paying more for their profits, but they're taking this money out of their profits, aren't we paying anyway? It's really complicated and it's really hard to tell kind of what's going to happen in the future with the stock and the market and the bond market. But we have seen ratepayer advocates come out and say they do not like this plan.
And can I ask just an almost existential question? And that is, is this company's very existence still at risk? Is it possible that it's not around 2, 3, 4 years from now?
I don't think that is possible in any way, shape, or form. We've never seen any realistic proposal for, say, the state to buy them out and make this a public entity. We have seen their stock price, even in bankruptcy, really rebound. And I think that what you're seeing now is on both sides, whether it's the bondholders who want to take over PG&E or the shareholders who are asking for this $20 billion bond, they're both betting their money on the fact that this will continue to be a profitable company once they exit bankruptcy. And I think that that speaks to kind of how difficult it is for those of us on the consumer side to really trust anyone.
Marisa Lagos, thanks for being my PG&E Sherpa. I needed it.
I would say it's my pleasure, but it's kind of my curse, Saul.
Somebody's got to do it.
Thank you for having me.
During World War II, tens of thousands of Korean women were forced by the Japanese military to work in brothels as sex slaves. They were euphemistically called comfort women, and in recent years, the suffering and exploitation they endured have gotten more attention. That includes a new musical that's opened in Los Angeles. KPCC's Josie Wong reports.
At a theater in downtown LA, it's rehearsal time for the musical Comfort Women. A troupe of performers dance across the stage.
Try to hold my breath and wait.
the song belies a very heavy subject. As many as 200,000 women and girls, mostly from Korea, were forced to work at so-called comfort stations across Asia. The women in the musical think they're signing up for factory jobs, only to learn too late from a Japanese soldier that they've been duped.
Your bodies now belong to the Great Imperial Army. You are to allow our soldiers to enjoy their time with you.
This is a controversial issue. The United Nations says Japan employed a widespread system of sexual slavery, and the Japanese government has apologized to the comfort women. At the same time, the Japanese government has angered Koreans by fighting efforts around the world to memorialize the women. Actress Jennifer Sun Bell portrays one of the comfort women in the musical. Before the audition notice, she had no idea who comfort women were.
I'm actually half Korean, and I was so angry and so just ashamed that I didn't know this is part of my heritage.
Bell relates to the women on another level. She is a sexual assault survivor.
I'm just so inspired by these grandmas and how they are able to speak out now and have so much strength and courage to do so.
When Bell takes to the stage in one of her character's pivotal scenes, she sings about being a shooting star. And her character pleads, tell the world who we are. For the California Report, I'm Josie Huang in Los Angeles.
Support for the California Report comes from Strauss Family Creamery, producing 100% organic milk in reusable glass bottles for more than 25 years, keeping 500,000 pounds of milk containers out of landfills every year. StraussFamilyCreamery.com. Energy Upgrade California, reminding Californians to use less energy every day. Keep it golden at energyupgradecalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's the California Report for Friday, August 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer and Katie McMurrin, with additional help from Rob Spate and Jim Bennett. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Have a great day.